everybody, and welcome back to the A Show with the Kings, a pro wrestling podcast. I am Justin, here with Meals. What's up, Meals?
What a week, man. What a week.
Crazy week.
This week, and just maybe include some wrestling stuff, but this week, just in general, has been insane. On Friday, we get the new Future album. How do you feel about it, by the way? I know you're going to talk about long form of Black Print, so I don't want to steal too much.
I like it.
I hate the.
I like it a lot. I just feel like, I think the more you get in the weeds of the what, the who, when, what, where, why, you know what I mean? It just has a stench to it.
And it. I agree.
My cohort Josh Pease would tend to disagree, and we'll talk about it on Black Print later this week or next week. But there's a really bad stench to the album, bro. And I think that a lot of the conversation about like other things are like being overtaken by other things.
I'll make this a very short question. Do you feel like the internet in general underestimates Drake just too much?
Yes. But I think they underestimate him, and I also, because here's the thing, like, nobody thought he could beat Meek Mill. That's like the biggest thing that people talk about, and I think that like he relatively got out of the Pusha T thing unscathed. I'm actually shocked he never actually like said anything bad. Well, he did.
Remember he did.
Yeah, he put the Duppy shit out, and then he put the other thing out, and just like, and that's something that he lost. Like, I feel like that's something he you could say on a lot of different levels he lost, but he still survived. He still did a million copies and all this other shit. Like, he still was fine. You know what I mean? I think that in terms of the underestimating what he could do in the mic, I don't think you can survive 15 years in the game and still be who you are and not. Like, I don't know anyone other than like maybe LeBron that still gets doubted 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. It's kind of crazy. I'm as much as the whole Kendrick and Future and Metro thing. I'm like, everyone's. Yeah. But I'm also like, you guys realize like Drake is kind of like low-key, like unhinged when it comes to if he cares a lot, but also if he feels slighted in a way. Mm-hmm. By people who he feels like are not on par with him, mm-hmm. That's usually when he goes in.
I also like, don't think he's going to like respond to the people that they expect him to respond to. I think like the Kendrick thing has been something that's like people have been waiting for, and I think he's been waiting for it. And I also feel like in a way he probably feels like that time has passed. He hasn't thrown a shot at Kendrick in years.
No, he hasn't.
So long time.
I want to say like 2019.
When you think about like, but then he shouted him out, I think, literally the year after that. He's like mostly been like, okay, I guess it's over. Like, I thought it was over.
I thought it was over too. He was collaborating with SZA and shit. I don't know.
I guess like when you look at it, it's like, okay, J. Cole did kind of poke the bear. Okay. So like, I think that's really, he got it worse, honestly, to me, because that's just like, that was like directly responding to his verse. On that song. So I feel like J. Cole probably got it worse. I think the attention people are showing to Drake is kind of because of his stature, but I think J. Cole for sure is dodging a lot of the commentary because he got it worse. But I think that honestly, those are, people forget that like Kendrick's not his friend, so he don't even really care about that shit.
Yeah.
Metro and Future were his friends, so I think that like when he comes out and disses them, I don't want anyone to be surprised. And I think Metro's gonna get it the worst. Because I think that him masterminding this is absolutely like everyone's calling him out for it. Like the masterminding of this was it really makes him look bad, especially for someone who's like all preaching positivity. You know, like I you know, he's always like the person who's kind of out the way. I think this just makes him look terrible.
I believe it.
That's my thoughts. I know that. Listen, it's gonna be World War III. on Black Print.
Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Black Print as well.
But I think the album's good. Crazy, you know, again, we got a Beyonce album this week, right? So the conversations die down because you're not.
I was gonna talk about it. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah. Because you're not getting a response. Let me just be clear with y'all. Y'all not getting a response.
No. Like it's not at all. Not
happening this week. Probably won't happen next week. It'll happen sometime down the road. But you're gonna have to pay for it because it's not like the thing is that with Kendrick is like he's gonna say that and then he's gonna be off for another 10 years. Like it's never gonna be like, and that goes for both of them. They just aren't that type of artist. You know what I mean? They make you pay for it. You know, you got to pay for it to hear it. So,
then on Monday, Diddy's mansions get raided by Homeland Security. Mm. And it's like, holy shit on a shingle. Like, what is this? What is, like, never in my years growing up, listening to Bad Boy, all these other things, that I think it would ever come to this. I remember in fifth grade, I mean, it ages poorly. I wrote a book report on Diddy because they were like, write a report on a black entrepreneur who's like doing his thing. And out of everyone pick, you know, the same entrepreneurs, nigga who made this, nigga who made this. I picked Diddy.
George Washington Carver, nigga.
Right. And I was like, nah, take that. And never in my years that I thought it would come to this. But it absolutely has to come to this. Like the stuff he was doing, the stuff that he's been accused of, the stuff that, and having his kids being pictured, arrested as well. Nowhere on where Diddy actually is himself, but that was just a crazy scene on Monday.
Yeah.
And then this morning, Key Bridge.
Yeah, that almost looked like a movie to me.
Bro, it was the first thing I saw when I woke up. And I was just like, nah. Because low-key, it's never been like, on my ranking of fears, right? And I'll never tell everybody who was like my top fears. No one will ever have that on me to use against me to destroy this podcast. But something, being on a bridge while a bridge is collapsing is definitely a fear. And to watch this all go down, and the internet is weird because everyone's trying to become structural engineers in real time.
Yeah, like everyone's, it's civil engineer Twitter. I'm like, damn, y'all. So y'all switched up from tax Twitter
to law
to civil engineer. Y'all got some jobs now.
Amen. When I looked at it, all right. So I had to see like the actual. I had to see because the videos that I got were a lot of like, here's the bridge in the background, and here's this other car, this boat that we're seeing coming forward, and drops all entire, and it looks like it's like, damn, this looks like a flimsy bridge. But then when I saw kind of like the massive size of that ship and kind of like how it hits one beam and it just won't be able to stand up for that.
I saw somebody say we need better infrastructure. I'm like, nigga, do you see the boat?
Yeah, first of all, that was pretty good infrastructure. It was going to, there was no way that was not going to topple over, and I'll tell you why. Because it hit that one beam and kind of destroyed that. So everything fell down on top of it. And then the bridge had only really one more beam to hold up the rest of the weight of everything else. Yeah, and it was just physics. Like, nah, fuck that.
Yes, it's physics. Like when I saw this morning, I said, oh, shit. I was like, bro, like, I was like, maybe like a piece of it fell. The whole motherfucking thing fell.
It said, like, nah. Oh.
It looked like the Dark Knight Rises when he blew up the bridges around the shit.
Bro. That's what it
looked like to me, bro. I was like, yo, that shit looked insane.
So it's going to be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I don't know. I don't know if there'll be a lot of, if it fell down by itself, maybe there's a lot of investigation, but something hit it. I don't think it's going to be much investigation. Yeah. And then, like we say, a Beyonce album comes out this week, a country Beyonce album comes out this week.
Album, she said it's a Beyonce album.
It's a Beyonce album.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.
I'm interested to see what what that sounds like.
I generally do not listen to her music.
I do, so I can't even front.
Let me know how it is.
I don't think it's gonna be super country.
Country
because leaning. Yeah, country leaning. But then I also heard there's like a snippet with like, I know this is gonna make you not listen to it more, with Travis Scott. And
well, he wasn't terrible on the Future album. Two times he's on there.
This is true.
I think they got the best take of whatever he did that day.
Man, like, I don't know. I'm interested to see how what this ends up going for and how music changes or evolves, or if anything, or how it'll just play out in the narrative or career. I'm interested. But yeah, it's a crazy week. It's a crazy week. And then this is the week before WrestleMania.
Ooh. We're about to be busy this week.
We're about to be super busy this week recording the WrestleMania prediction party. So just know you guys are going to get a great episode, of course. There's a lot to talk about. I think there's a lot narratively to bite into in wrestling and just with WrestleMania this year, because there's so much going on. There's so many moving pieces. There's so many things that mean things. And last night we saw arguably one of the best episodes of Monday Night Raw that ever existed.
Definitely of the past like 10 years for sure.
I can't remember the last time I said this is one of the best nights of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's been like, some years. There'll usually be episodes that were, oh, that was really good. You know what I mean? But they treated this like added Attitude Era, you know, Raw, but with better matches.
You know do you remember like the last episode of Raw? You were like, wow.
I thought the episode when Roman came back was pretty good, where he was in remission, y'all.
Oh.
I like that one. I thought that one of the ones this year was pretty good. The punk episode.
The Punk Cody.
Yeah, Punk Cody. Yeah, that was good from start to finish. I thought
that's still probably the best segment of the year by far.
I thought that was pretty good. That was only in January. I thought Bloodline Tribal Court was a really good episode of Raw.
Do you remember any as a kid that you were like, wow?
Oh, I always go to Austin Saving Stephanie is my favorite Raw episode of all time.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Austin Saving Stephanie, it still gives me chills because, like, that's why Austin's, like, so much of my favorite wrestler of all time. Because he's like a hero. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he looked like a hero in that moment. And there were never really moments where Austin ever looked like a hero. It always looked like he was trying to fight the urge to, like, actually do the right thing like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think in that moment, the reason why that segment resonated so much for me, and it still does to this day, was that it was developed masterfully. Say what you will about the outcome of that whole storyline. That in general, having Austin, or McMahon, his biggest enemy, thanking him, and Stephanie trying to hug him, but he won't hug her.
Yeah.
He won't hug her. He won't put his arms around her because that's a McMahon. He don't trust her. But also, you know, that's just not who he is as a person. He didn't do it to be a hero. He did it because it was the right thing to do. You know what I mean? And I just love, I hate the wax, like, symbolic about that. But I love that episode of Raw. It was great.
Mine, the one that I remember the most and has always stuck out in my mind for whatever reason, is on the road to WrestleMania 2000. And they were like, we're just going to have the WrestleMania main event tonight. So is Triple H versus Big Show versus The Rock in the main event of Raw, and Triple H wins or retains or whatever. And then they bring out Mick Foley, who is like, and you know, Linda McMahon comes out and it's like, you know, we don't have a, you know, the Linda McMahon's, we don't have a main event for the amount she got away on the mic, just in general, for being a very normal person compared to the rest of her family. we don't really have a main event for Monday Night Raw, but I know there's one person who's been looking for this WrestleMania moment. And Triple H is on the ramp, and Mick Foley comes out and like duffs Triple H in the face and all this other stuff. And they announce it's going to be a fatal four-way with a McMahon in every corner. That always stuck out to me just because I felt like, wow, live television. This is like what it is.
Yeah.
Things that matter and unexpected things that happen. And that's always stuck out in my mind. And this Raw, which we'll talk about a lot on Patreon, of course. So make sure you subscribe to the Patreon. But this Raw was incredible, and we'll talk about it way, way, way more. But we got a lot to talk about this week. We got some stuff to talk about this week. We'll talk about some stuff that happens on Raw, but we got a lot to talk about that happened outside of the ring. And one of them, apparently there are two books coming out by former women's champions. And one is Becky Lynch's book, which the internet will not stop spoiling for me.
I haven't seen anything about it, but I think that's probably your For You page.
That's my For You. People are aggregating the hell out of various things in this book. And I'm just like, bro, can I read the book? Can I figure out that she wasn't supposed to be this? And they actually picked her all after the fact. Can I figure this out? Shout out to Black Announce Table for the Becky interview as well. But Ronda Rousey is also releasing some sort of book. I don't even know the name of her book. That's what's crazy about it. Our Fight. Oh, I'm white. Ronda Rousey, Our Fight, a memoir. She's going on her press run.
Yes.
And I don't know what else she's talking about, but on the wrestling.
It seems to be a lesser press run than what Becky's doing too.
Well, Becky's doing book signings and shit like that. And she's got her, I saw her entire week schedule. She is doing book signings to literally after WrestleMania, like every day.
That is why I think she needs to win that title. That is why there's no bigger ambassador for the company than her. If she has that, there's no bigger ambassador. But yeah, go ahead.
No, Ronda Rousey's going out. She's doing a lot of press regarding a lot of stuff. And she's talking about her time in WWE. And to be honest, she doesn't really speak very high. She speaks highly of Triple H. But ultimately, she doesn't speak highly of WWE. She doesn't speak highly of Vince McMahon, which fair. She doesn't speak highly of Bruce Pritchard. She doesn't speak highly of the structure of WWE and everything that's going on in the back of it. And she actually seems to she's calling essentially WWE a shit show. How much of an absolute shit show it is at WWE, because they can't hold a story over my head and hold me hostage with my own career. I don't need anything from them, and I don't intend on going back, so I can say everything that I think and feel while everyone else is held captive by their organization. And I was like, this actually tracks well for me, considering her promos, to be honest with you, because it does sound like her promos.
They let her do everything she wanted, though. Who writing that for her? The shit she was saying.
Shit.
You think she was following a script? Here's my thing, man. They already didn't like you. Like fans already didn't like you because of your Sandy Hook issue, the Sandy Hook shit, right? The Sandy Hook shit has people still mad to this day, Meals.
Mm-hmm. As they should be.
As they should be, right? So here's my thing. They're already mad at you about that. They hate you for that. You come in, you leapfrog a lot of people. You're really the reason why people love Becky and Charlotte so much at one point. They even was liking Charlotte over you at one point. Which is crazy to me, because they hate her. But you come out, you leave, and shout out to you. You have a child. You come back, and it won't hit in the same. And Mills, you notice when her matches won't hit in the same, and it was kind of whack. That's when she started having problems. That's when it was like, no, it's everybody else. It's everybody else having problems. I feel like she don't really want to take accountability herself for a lot of the issues that might have went wrong the second time around, because I don't think anyone else was having those types of problems. But it's like. Doesn't make sense.
from the sound of it, it sounded like she didn't really want her career dictated for her in the way that it was dictated for her. It didn't sound like she wanted it to be.
Dana White? She listened to Dana White?
Well, that's true. But it sounds like she was very much so like, everything was whack. Everything they gave me was... She comes off to me as like a mark.
For herself, yes.
Which in general.
Yeah.
An internet, like the ones that hit you up on Twitter when you say something bad and they're like, well, actually, that's what she sounds like to me. That's what she's coming off to be. Because yeah. I feel like it's very... Her critique is very... I don't think it takes into account the viewpoint of, like, again, like you said, how she has affected everyone else, mm-hmm. and how everyone has kind of like to maneuver around her to make kind of things work for themselves. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Becky Lynch, who got over in spite of herself. Charlotte never faltered, but there are a lot of, like, to be honest with you, she came at the same time. I'm not gonna, I could care less about Athena currently, but. She came at the time where Athena was on the rise, and then they were like, actually, Ronda Rousey's here.
Ronda Rousey's here. Yeah, a lot of people got leapfrogged. Asuka won the Royal Rumble, and guess who came out? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of shit.
Asuka slapping her hand is never not going to be funny. She's bitch. Like, right? But no, she, to me, it's just like, a lack of self-awareness to the situation. But also, they gave you so much. And the things didn't go completely your way, but you got so... It's kind of like the... what would you say? What's that word that describes white people all the time? Kind of, yeah. I was going to say... I use it to describe Dolph Ziggler a lot. Starts with an E. I'm trying to figure it out. Oh God, why can't I remember the word? Either way, it sounds like
she's very... No.
Oh my God, no! But she sounds very It's just very like I expected this, and not even I expected this, but like I don't know. It's just this is all whack. I was like, what? This is mad corny and tacky of you, actually. Like, this is corny for you to, like, thing the business. And I understand you had a lot of issues and stuff like that. But for you to, like, purposely say, like, I'm never going to go back, so I'm going to talk shit about them all that I want. And mind you, they gave you the opportunity to do what you wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Full time. We're patient with you. Let you go. Let you come back. Let you be as good as you want to be. And still, even after, because to be honest with you, we talked about this last time we talked about Ronda Rousey. Her star actually dimmed a lot when she was in WWE, and that's largely her own fault.
Exactly. It was the mat, like, promos, people knew she couldn't really cut promos like that. We already knew that. The promos was going to be whack. They were going to be what they are and what they invariably ended up being. I think the issue is that she just lost several steps since she came back. I think, like, even we noticed it, like, when Becky came back, she wasn't the smoothest.
It was entitled. Sorry, entitled.
Oh, entitled, there you go. But it wasn't the smoothest, but it was, you know, she got herself back into motion. And to Ronda's credit, she worked house shows. She worked every single episode of SmackDown. But that ended up actually being detrimental to Ronda because right. She did not seem like a big deal anymore. She was just a person on the show.
Even teaming with Shayna, which I get you want to... And mind you, Shayna has not been any... It's not like she helped Shayna, to be honest with you. No. Shayna's literally right where... Shayna's literally just... They cycled out Ronda and put in Zoe Stark. It's literally the same thing. But she dimmed a lot of her own light. And she was like, oh, I don't want to, you know... I don't like to settle for mediocrity. And then she goes out and wrestles on ROH. Like, come on, man. Like... To me, she comes off as like an internet troll, kind of like very internet, like trying to speak for the internet, trying to thing. And I know she technically is. She's a big nerd. It is what it is. I get it. She's a major, major nerd. She's one of those nerds with opinions. I completely understand it. But it just, I don't know. This is very, to me, it's bad when everyone else is like, then leave. Good, fine, bye. No
one, like, as much like people hate, you know what I'm saying, WWE, or they hate certain people in the company, even they're like, okay, bye, like, never come back. Like, people were glad that she did not come back. People were glad that she left. People did not care. I think that ultimately she's trying to, like, she's preaching to a choir that is not really singing her songs. Like,
especially when it's the product is hot as fuck right now.
Yeah, you're just not gonna get the same. In fact, she will probably benefit from how hot they are right now. Well, but you know, I'm glad that she's getting it all out of her chest, getting it off her chest, and she has an outlet to do that. You know, I'm not gonna invalidate her. Her experience, but I do know what I saw as a fan, and it wasn't hitting. That Ronda and Shayna match from last SummerSlam was one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life, and I think if not her, then everyone involved is to blame for that. So, you know, take accountability for that as well. That's all.
I agree. It's a take accountability is all I have to say about that. But she's got her book. She's going to talk about it all in her book about how she felt gross wrestling in WWE and all this other stuff.
You seen this fucking tweet? It's bothering me. I've been wanting to talk about this for a couple minutes.
Let me know.
WrestleMania, emphasis on lame. They tweeted Solo Sikoa is now 0-34 since defeating John Cena, and I retweeted and said on TV, because he hasn't lost on TV, or he's lost one time on TV. No, he didn't lose on TV, did he?
He's lost to LA Knight on TV.
LA Knight, okay. He lost to LA Knight. That's one time.
But I don't even think he's been in matches like that on TV, to keep it a buck with you. Like, she hasn't really been used like that.
So, what? what? Are they kind of house shows?
Here's my thing. People like to aggregate stuff for no particular reason. This is the thing last week where they talk about Mercedes Moné's song has been streamed 24,000 times on Spotify. And we're like, bro, that's not good. Not that it even just is not good. It's not even worth aggregating.
I mean, the comments knew it. But the thing in the way that tweet was set up is that it was so neutral that it could have went either way. It could have been like, we're just reporting this and we don't care if we get positive or negative responses. We're getting responses.
Right. Solo hasn't wrestled a match. He wrestled on the January 12th SmackDown, where AJ, LA Knight, and Randy Orton beat him and Jimmy. And then before that, Solo Sikoa, AJ Styles beats him by DQ. Before that, AJ Styles beats him at Tribute to the Troops, maybe? Is this Tribute to the Troops? And then, yeah, LA Knight beats him. And then he beats John Cena. But, yeah, it's not that deep. Who cares? Solo Sikoa is not even on WrestleMania. Like, we're good. But either way, no, this aggregation culture on the internet has got to, I think people need to be able to filter out what's important and what's not important, because you got things like that, statistics that don't even really matter, but you know that will generate interest amongst fans, and people are like, well, they fumbled him, and, you know, Roman and The Rock and blah, 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 and stuff like that, and just a whole bunch of conversation around it. The egregious one was the Mercedes Moné one was the most egregious one to me. I was like, God damn.
I was like, what is wrong, like, y'all?
Yeah, I was like, come on, bro. Like, and everyone's like, yes. And I'm just like, bro, it's 24,000 streams.
Not, it's barely 50 set. It's barely 50 sales. Like, barely. Barely.
It's like, that's like one quintillionth of a cent.
Somebody gonna be like, well, she independent. She own all of it. All right.
All right, own it.
It's a great 4-for-4 at Wendy's.
It ain't even that. It ain't even that.
Come on now.
AEW. It's been a while since we talked about AEW.
No, it hasn't. We just talked about
it. We talked about them last week. Yeah, we just talked about them last week with Mercedes. How do you feel about Mercedes' second week? How are we living?
That opening segment, it was infathomable how bad that opening segment was.
And people are just like, nah, this is awesome. And I'm just like, bro, we really have two sets of eyes and brains. And
same promo from the week before. I don't. Here's my thing. I think I said it last week. She really should not be a babyface.
No,
she really should not be coming in here as a returning, debuting hero. I don't think it's a good idea. I think this will only cause people in that company who loves cool heels to turn on her or not give a fuck or change the channel. You see what they're doing to Swerve right now. He was cool heel because that's all they know how to do, right? He's a babyface now. People are tuning out. They're tuning the fuck out because he's not cool no more. They don't know how to write babyfaces.
I was like, why is there a video package in the middle of this? Why are you talking about your struggles and overcoming them, but also being in a fucking fur jacket and dancing on the way to the ring? Like, why are you, the narrative surrounding you is you're the highest paid woman in wrestling, but it feels like you're being, it's like, I just wanted to do, and I'm just so confused with the things. I mean, it's week three. We'll see what they do afterwards. It's the peppermint hour, supposedly. So they got some stuff. But also in AEW news, people haven't asked in a while. Maybe people don't care. Because I haven't heard about his name at any scrum. But Jack Perry, formerly Jungle Boy, has been gone from AEW since All In last August. And the word is, well, we saw him pop up at a New Japan show in January. He's now referring to himself as the scapegoat. But people are wondering, what is the relationship with Jungle Jack Perry and AEW? And for a long time, there was no relationship. Wrestling Observer Newsletter reports that for the first 2 months after the entire incident, Tony Khan and Jack Perry did not speak at all. But what they're trying to do, well, at least what their initial report said, that Perry was texting him to apologize and blah, blah, blah. And eventually they sat down at Full Gear to plot out his return. And then when CM Punk returned to the WWE, they held off on such plans. Now, according to a new report, it says Jack Perry denies he ever apologized to Tony Khan for All In. He was like, I am not pussy. Fuck out of here. Saying he refused to initiate first contact and didn't hear from the AEW presidents for 2 months after the initial incident. He says Perry claims none of this was approved by AEW. He's still under AEW contract, but only because AEW denied his request for a release. He says he hasn't spoken to Khan in months, and there are no plans to currently bring him back.
Well, wasn't there like a blind item that said like, they were talking, but then when Punk debuted and
WWE, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah. When Punk debuted, they pulled the plug on that shit.
The nigga said, "Never mind."
Yeah, niggas gonna think of, I guarantee you, he was supposed to be the devil. I guarantee you, he was supposed to be the devil. I think that was where this was all supposed to go. And then, yeah, it just didn't go that way. So they had to pivot to lame Adam Cole. But, I mean, this kind of reminds me of the same situation with Ali that happened in WWE a while ago, where they had a sort of disagreement with Vince McMahon. Mm-hmm. They don't talk for months. refuses to release him because, like, no, we're not going to send you out or something along those lines. And kind of they can figure it out all after the fact. I expect them to figure it out. But to be honest with you, I would let Jungle Boy Jack Perry go. There's honestly not.
It does not seem smart to let this guy stay on the books, especially when you keep signing people for $4 or $5 million a year. Why? Oh, why?
Is this because his dad is Luke Perry? I'm confused.
Even his dad is in heaven saying, just fire him.
Let my boy go.
There is no reason he should. This just seems, do you not want to look like a bad guy that bad? Like, Tony Khan is a billionaire that doesn't want to be the bad billionaire. But let me tell you right now, there's no such thing as a good billionaire. And you're not one either. You're not one either. So, like, like, what? Why would you let this nigga go? Why are we even talking about him for this long? Fire him.
Yeah, literally let him go. I don't know what we're supposed to do. I don't know if it's like we don't want WWE to scoop him. To be honest with you, I don't think they would. And even if they did, you'd probably be better off. But
he's on AEW, Matt Tannen to Obafemi, bro. If he leaves there, bro.
Yeah, he's gonna be on NXT. He's gonna be on the CW, but you know, definitely Matt Tannen.
Matt Tannerman, bro. That's what's happening.
But just let him. I don't know. I don't. The idea of not releasing people and just having them like drown out their contract forever.
That's like old girl Serena Deeb saying, well, you know, I was the one who was the final boss. Nigga.
Shut up.
Nobody care.
You haven't been on TV in a million years, bro. Exactly. And even when you were, no one cared. Like, come on.
You look like a human lollipop.
All right now. All right.
I'm sorry.
either way, no, I mean this. Young boy Jack Perry. Well, whatever. We've probably given him too much time. Big news on SmackDown this week.
Yes.
SmackDown officially signed Jade Cargill. A surprise to me. A shock to me. A shock to my system.
I was shocked. Then I kind of looked at the depth chart for Raw and I said, there's no room for her there. There truly isn't any room for her on Raw. Because you know what we're not talking about? The fact that Charlotte is not on SmackDown anymore. She will probably be on Raw when she comes back.
Has that been...
Her husband is on Raw. She is coming back to Raw.
Okay. She might be back in, 2 weeks? 3?
Yeah. Maybe 6 weeks. The way she rolling. When did she come up? When she go out? October?
She went out... I don't even think it was that long, bro. She went out in January.
Nuh-uh.
Yes, bro.
Nuh-uh.
She went out in January, bro.
It's December. It was December.
December 8th. I'm sorry. She went out on December 8th. She's going to be back soon. She's doing double duchess in the hallway and shit. She's killing it. Like, she's good. But yeah, I could see there's an opportunity where she's on Monday Night Raw and Jade's on SmackDown. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a draft at some point, but actually, they might not even need to do the draft this year, to be real with you.
I think we're good. I don't think I'm tired of this roster yet. I think there's still a lot of meat on the bone to a lot of these, especially with the people who were injured coming back in the last couple of weeks.
They can move Bobby to Raw, but other than that, I feel like move
Bobby to goddamn alumni. Shit. I'm tired.
Oh my god.
You see the way he was dressed? We'll get to it on SmackDown. But goddamn,
it was like the the Tom and Jerry suit thing, the ha cha 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 suit. Oh my god, no! But
come here, lady. You see, I'm gonna put you in the hurt lock. See, that's the type of fucking suit that nigga was wearing, man.
Jade Cargill is coming on Friday Night SmackDown. Let's talk about Jade Cargill. We haven't talked about her in a long time. And fairly to talk about. there isn't, right? But I mean, people are making up sort of things in their head. People are like, oh my god, Jade responds to it on almost seemingly a weekly basis or bi-weekly basis of like, WWE has fumbled Jade, they don't know what to do with her, how is it possible she's not on TV yet? And the crazy thing was, when she was on TV, all y'all complained that she was a terrible wrestler.
Yeah.
And didn't deserve to be on TV yet.
A couple more weeks of her practicing, I'm not mad at it.
Listen, she practicing and living the good life. I've seen her Instagram stories. Her husband is like, listen, we's being married forever. I'm never letting go. I am never leaving. That's what her husband says. But either way, no. So I wanted to ask this question. What do we kind of see? Let's plot out from this WrestleMania to next WrestleMania. Maybe not fully plot out, but what do you feel like is the trajectory for one Jade? Because she is a star. She's definitely been paid like one. She's being presented as one. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle this on Friday Night SmackDown. But we're assuming now, even though we didn't think it would be, it seemed like it was too late before, but it seems like now she may be included in WrestleMania plans. What do you think?
I think that this might be absolutely mad to do, but I don't think you put her in any position where she can't be a champion in the interim or a champion at any time you know, before next WrestleMania. But I think the way you do that is, I think they're petty enough to do the undefeated streak thing again.
Ooh.
I think they're petty enough to do it.
There's a lot of power. There's Bianca on SmackDown. Who else is, I guess, well, I guess Charlotte may not be anymore. Charlotte would be the biggest threat to said streak.
Yeah, I think that if you could turn Bianca, and that could be a thing that happens. I think that she just naturally has the, Jay just naturally has the look where she's like a superhero. Again, she's like a superhero. And I think that it's a different aura than Bianca, which is good. It's not a bad thing to have a different aura. I think there's, you're presenting with a different character. For so long, we've had so many kind of like, you know, white characters that all portray something differently and all have different levels of success. But it's been very rare to see two black women on one show that have two different auras about them. Bianca has developed hers for the past almost decade, and Jade is going to kind of develop hers as well. But I think that that's going to be the interesting juxtaposition as well, is how long do you keep these two apart from each other? You know what I mean? But I mean, I think in the interim, having her, Naomi, and Bianca there to show her the ropes in ring and out of ring and just have them be a team is pretty fucking fire. I think that versus Damage Control is a great little group, don't you think? I think that you carry that throughout the year. I think
they beat the shit out of Damage Control, to be honest. I think they beat the holy shit out of Damage Control, because that is a whole lot of women in that ring.
And to Jade's point, you're putting her in the ring with a EO. You're putting her in the ring with a fucking Dakota Kai.
But do you, let me ask you this. Would you have Jade either compete and or win a Money in the Bank contract?
No.
Okay.
She don't need that briefcase to win a title. I think your best bet for Money in the Bank at this point, to me, is to just give it back to Liv and do it the right way this time. That would be my guess. My booking of that is do it with Liv again and do it the right way without a Ronda Rousey. Like, you know what I mean? And to have her do it the way she should have did it, you know, the way it should have been done. But I think with Jade, like I said, the level of competition is so fucking high at this company and on the show that she's in, that she's on. You know what I mean? Then you've got potentially more NXT people coming in. You know what I mean? Like, I think they need, I for one think they need to start getting the witches locked in again. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's so much that you could have there, and there are a lot of women on SmackDown, and I think there's a lot of women that she could learn from. And I think it'll be dope. I think it's a good look. I for one thought it would have been Jay and Nia. It doesn't look to be that way, and that's fine. You know what I mean? I think that if they do end up doing something with her and Jade and Bianca, Naomi, Bayley, what a way to put her in the top of that position, because the Bayley program is getting insane amount of looks and ratings right now.
I feel like her face run will be short. If maybe that's a hot take.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the faces that are currently on the roster, and I feel like there are a lot of them that could help her carry her there than her being a...
What happened? I feel like somebody's going to flip.
But I feel like... like, Bayley just turned face. Bianca is a face. Bianca's a great face.
He's a great face, but... If I had to bet on FanDuel right now, I don't think she's gonna be face for long.
But she's, I feel like they've been hinting at the Tiffany Stratton thing for a while, which is why I feel like Jade eventually like gets too big for her britches kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, she becomes that bougie friend. Like, you know, you have the friends that are like, they're down, and it's like, yeah, girl, you know, and then she becomes the bougie one. Like, the one that's like too hot for her. It's like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that?
You're going to take a trip to Miami and then come back and they're not going to be friends no more.
Right. It's like fucking, what's my girl's name on NXT? JC Jane. She just turned on, she just switched up on Thea Hale. Like, that's how I feel like it could go. I feel like, don't get me wrong, if Charlotte isn't going to be on SmackDown, I low-key feel like they're going to lean towards Bianca and Jade next year.
Mm.
I just feel like that's too big of a... I don't know. But I know they really want to do Charlotte versus Bianca.
You could do that
SummerSlam.
You could do that SummerSlam. I just unless the prophets move, I just don't see them doing that like anytime soon. But again, like as we've seen, injuries and timing is that's the top one and two things in wrestling.
If they can grab another big heel for SmackDown Women's Division, if Nia somehow moves over to SmackDown, I say they're good. Mm-hmm. I say that they're good and they can keep kind of, we can go wrong with the plans and keep Jade as a face. But to me, the competition, there's such a large fall in the level, and it's not that they're bad or anything. It's just like the way they're presented right. as important. There's Damage Control, Bayley, Bianca, Charlotte, and then there's everybody else, and Naomi.
I just want Jade to come out and be like, bitch, please, don't nobody give a fuck about that Joshi shit.
Oh my God. Thank God Asuka's okay. I was like, thank God.
You notice she wasn't doing too much, though.
No, so she wasn't. They were like, yo, relax.
Yeah, she's they probably got her in a hyperbolic time chamber. Justin, just...
You know, and I feel like even if I feel like she's the type of person, even if she was hurt, she wouldn't let people know. Wouldn't show it to people.
Yeah, she ain't missing that payday. She got an arcade machine on the way. She's not missing that.
The fuck? Oh my God. Before we get into Patreon, let's give them a slice of Monday night because something major happened. We'll talk about Friday night, which I'll be interested in your thoughts. But Monday night, man, the only comment I had was, damn, Cody Rhodes versus The Rock at WrestleMania is going to be crazy. This shit going to be stupid fire.
Like, that's damn, what... How is the belt going to play into a tag team match? That's going to be wild. Like, it's going to be a wild two nights, my nigga.
The final boss, The Rock, new gimmick. I'm gonna keep it a buck. The entrance is fire.
It was the look, the shot in the arena was cool. Of it was very anime as well, with Cody in the darkness enveloped by the rocks.
Yeah,
like that looked like some Ryu versus Akuma Street Fighter type shit. Like
What's my man's name? Who doing the shows now?
Fetterman,
whatever his name is,
yeah,
gone stupid with it.
Yeah, hold on, it is the fact. It's
Lee,
man, that's not it. I know somebody's screaming at us right now.
I know Lee Fitting.
Lee Fitting. It was a F.
Fetterman, Pepperman, his ass up.
The thing is, he's killing it because even in like the last segment, he kills it. And they've done more kind of like just dope shit around. But the Cody promo. Can I tell you right now? I know a lot of people are gonna say Rock has been the best on the mic. Cody's been the best on the mic throughout this whole thing. Mm. From the moment where he comes out in the media press scrum and he's like, this is bullshit. Like that, from that moment on, he's been off. He's been gone. Like, he's been far and away the best person on the mic during this shit. The Rock response a week ago to this on Monday night, talking about the fans pointing to the fucking sign. I was like, bro, that's some Goku shit. That's some like spirit bomb type shit, right? Like that shit's hard. Like I was like I thought his promo on Monday was really, really good before, and even The Rock coming out and the way that they looked and the stare down and when the whisper, I was like, yo, this is some really cool and inspired stuff they're doing right here.
It also helps in the crowd is as hot as fucking fish grease. Chicago was insane. And they did the wide shot and I was like, oh shit, man. It's like y'all niggas got y'all home took.
Yeah, they definitely on the, they definitely on his block, yo. They definitely serving on his block right now, and they like
Forbidden Door was rocking, but I don't know if it was rocking like Monday Night Raw, baby.
Yeah, there's no way he's looking at this, and by him, I mean Tony. There's no way he's looking at this and being like, this is fine, right?
I mean, no, but he's also like, I got Mercedes and Will Ospreay and Okada, and they did it.
Because it seems like he's pretty much like doubling down on the real wrestling thing. I think he's pretty much given up on the spectacle stuff. Just from the looking at the show for the past couple years. It's more really about, he's like, well, I can't beat him with the superstardom. You know what I mean? I could beat him with like the real wrestling shit, right? But I again, throughout the show, there is a really nice through line of the bloodline ruining everything. And this isn't a bloodline that was as big as they were 2 years ago. Yeah. Like, this is like a smaller bloodline, but they still wrecking shit. And then Cody and Seth come out to help Jay during his match. And then which that match screamed angle alert from the moment it was fucking announced. And then when The Rock shows up out of nowhere, I was like, oh yeah, that match is big angle alert, especially if it's fucking main eventing. The end of the show happens. Cody's beating everybody up in the background. I was like, where the fuck was Seth at? But then you remember.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But still.
You got DDT'd to the fucking floor, bro. Like, but you notice throughout the show, Drew was talking to Heyman. And Heyman probably sent them off on that job, because we've known Drew to be a mercenary. We've known him to be somebody that'll do whatever. He did it with the Judgment Day. I'm doing it for the bloodline. He's somebody that'll do whatever he has to do to get ahead. He takes Seth out. Cody comes out, and then Rock comes out of nowhere and starts hitting.
Can I say this is the most casual ass whooping that I've ever seen? I don't even think he like bent his knees. I don't think he picked up anything.
That nigga, that stomp was motherfucking slow. I said, did the wiggle stomp, the shake leg stomp? I said, why it look like that?
Yeah. Like, he tried to shake something loose, you know what I'm saying?
But leave it to Rock's old ass to finally be referencing a Chris Brown song from a decade ago.
He was talking.
Look at him now.
This was the opposite of, you remember Austin's Home Invasion, where he beats up that black guy and throws him in the pool? Like, this is kind of the opposite. This was very like casual beatdown. This was The Rock. This was as physical as The Rock has gotten since he's been back, outside of Rock Bottoms and Spine Busters. Mm-hmm. And again, he looked like it's a lot to move around with the current body that he got and all the. I thought he was about to throw him in the ravine.
That wasn't a ravine. That would have just been straight death. That was actually. If it had rained hard enough, I'm pretty sure it would have broke his fall. But I think that was just like the ramp to go into the parking garage. He would have just died.
What did you think of the John Cena and Austin things on the truck in the background? Do you think it's something or no?
I don't know. I wasn't even paying attention to it until
Niggas was like, listen, man, John Cena and The Rock and Austin right there. I was like, I don't think Austin would do anything in this if it wasn't about him.
Why would he care?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe John Cena, but Austin, if it's not about him, he's probably not gonna do it. Either way. A beatdown in the rain.
Uh-huh.
And if you thought The Rock was getting away with a lot of things before, now he's busting niggas open.
Also, shout out to God and Mother Nature for that look. Because if it was not raining outside, I don't think it would have had the same, it would have hit the same. Well, it would have still been shocking, but the rain added like a lot of drama to that whole thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No.
Lightning. Because it's almost like The Rock brought the rain. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He brought the rain with him. Like, I thought that was like really, really good touch. Shout out to Mother Nature for knowing that had to be cinema. That was cinema. I told you I was looking for cinema.
Mm.
Last week I said I want cinema. It happened a couple days later, but we got the cinema. And again, Rock cutting a promo as he beats him up, kind of reminiscent of how he used to do it on those like Last Man Standing matches with Mankind and shit like that. Just talking shit as he beats somebody up. Beats the shit out of Cody, takes his belt off to show that it's the Mama Rhodes belt. Cody, of course, as you said, was bleeding. The thing that was getting me though, Meals, was that he was actually getting booed. He was actually getting booed because he was doing all of this stuff. When the Mama Rhodes belt came out, it was immediate boos. There were no cheers. when the mama,
he should have said something about his dog. I don't know if he said anything about the dog because the dog was on the car right there.
Yeah, that would have been ugly ass dog or some shit like that. I think that some of that is that Chicago is very much a pro Cody crowd. I'll say that much because of his history, but also that The Rock was doing really well in showing this is not someone that you should cheer for. This is somebody that's beating up one of your favorites. I think people were concerned that Cody was losing. I've seen people say that they want him to lose, or you know what I'm saying? I keep seeing this narrative go around. He's still the hottest babyface in the company. All right. Yes. Like that's just not going to change. This proved it. He was getting legitimate boos here. And I was like, this is night and day from the Memphis thing, which I thought was as low as it's been. The Memphis thing was considerably a low point for this whole program for me, because I thought that it completely spat in the face of everything they were doing. They fixed it here. Good thing it's a good thing they don't have more weeks, because I feel like they're going to fuck it up again. But like,
yeah. How do you feel about the blood? This is like the first time we've seen someone get legitimately like they bled for wrestling.
Well, don't it matter more when you don't see it all the goddamn time?
Well, this is true. Cody's been waiting 2 years to bleed. You couldn't stop him from bleeding in AEW.
Yeah, doesn't it make a lot of sense when they don't bleed every fucking week, and when you see it, it's actually shocking? Crazy, bro.
Let me ask you another question. Do you feel like Roman should have been there as well?
No.
I feel like Roman...
If the story is going as it should, is Roman supposed to be on SmackDown this Friday? No, right?
I have no idea, but it legitimately feels like two different sets of feuds are going on currently. That's what I'm saying. I was like, bro, he don't bleed when he with Roman.
Yeah, like I honestly don't know. I think if the story is what it is, was this approved by Roman? To me, is the first thing that comes to mind. What did Roman know about what they were doing? Because remember, The Rock wasn't announced. It wasn't advertised to show up.
Right.
Very rare for WWE to do a surprise.
I mean, but Heyman was there. So kind of feel like he had to know.
Heyman was there, but was Heyman told by the tribal chief to do it? And so I guess we'll get confirmation on that possibly on Friday. If he was, then yes, I'll tell you right now, Roman should have been there. That doesn't make any sense from that to have not have been there. But it also like goes into the fact where it's like, Roman, you better show up. You better do what you're supposed to do. You better make the family proud. Because look at what The Rock did. He gave you Bloodline rules on a silver platter. He did all these things for you. He beat him up. He softened him up. He got in his head. And if you still lose, then there's a problem. And I think that's the story. It's like we let you have all this power. I gave you all of this. And if Roman loses, that's grounds for him to be excommunicated, if that's the case, with all the things that The Rock's been doing for him.
I agree. It's hot going into WrestleMania, so you don't
We got to get into it's been a relatively like hot week for the company, but I think that this week made me like, all right, I'm ready for the show.
I agree.
I'm ready. But we are going to be going over to Patreon now. As Mil said, what was your saying about the free show? You get a free show.
You get the good show for free, but you get the full show for $5.
So if you drop the $5, you hear us talk about SmackDown and the Cody and Roman promo. You hear us talk a little bit more about a really hot episode of Raw with
Punk,
the
CM Punk promo. They should have took the meeting, because it's different when this nigga shows up. I'm just letting you know. They should have took the meeting. we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's up. Let's just say it's really up for the road to WrestleMania. Next week is our WrestleMania prediction show. We're going to have a lot of special guests on there. We're going to be predicting every night or every match on every night of the show. And it's going to be a pretty lengthy one. So that'll be actually open for everybody next week. So you won't have to pay the $5 for that one. But if you want to get it early, and that's going to be, you know, very imperative before you watch the show. It's going to be so long. It might be as long as both nights of WrestleMania. Are you going to want to put the $5 down for Patreon? But as always, make sure you check out the War Report with Quan and Cyrus, where they're going to be talking about whatever the hell is going on in AEW. I feel really bad for them. Even though they're getting their,
they get stand and deliver too.
They're getting a strong stand and deliver. Yeah, they're getting a strong stand and deliver card.
Stand and deliver is going to be there too. So we actually believe it or not, I talked about it with Cyrus this weekend because I saw Cyrus in New York. Man's a lady on the shoe. Lady on the train says, "I love your tennis shoes," and he was like, "Thank you." And then she looked over at my shoes. And then I guess she felt like she needed a pity compliment me as well since I was with him. And this I was just, like,
"This shit's probably ugly."
I had Jordans on. He had, I'm not even going to say what he had on because he wants to gatekeep it. But it was great seeing Cyrus this week. War Report. They're coming up big. So make sure you guys tune in. Everything is coming up this week. Again, listen, you get a good show for free, but you get the full show 4 to 5. So, yeah, let's head over to Patreon, my friend.
All right, y'all. See you next week. Peace.